It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Recently, there has been a lot of talk about the possibility of a blue-green party at the next election. So this week I talked to James Shaw about whether this is a real possibility and what he thinks of it. We also talked about the plans for the Green Party in the near future, such as the Zero Carbon Bill and many other things. I began by asking James what his thoughts are on a blue-green party.
Well, I think that the people who run top, the Opportunities Party, would argue that they formed the Blue-Green Party before the last election. So this isn't the first time that this proposal has been around. I guess I would just say is that people who vote for the environment have already got a party representing them in government, and that's the Green Party.
A lot of people have said that the idea of a blue-green party in itself is a contradiction, considering the Green Party has never backed National. Do you agree with this?
Well, I think there's two different things there. I mean, what we would say in the Greens is that the same economic system that drives the kind of environmental degradation and the kind of poor outcomes that we see is also the same economic system that kind of, you know, continuously creates wealth accumulation at the top and excludes people at the bottom. And so you reform one and you reform the other. We would also say that you actually can't fix one without fixing the other. So, for example, with climate change, you know, you can't adapt to the effects of climate change and do the things that we need to do to reduce our emissions without fundamentally looking at the impact of the transition on low-income families. And so, you know, for us, those things go hand in hand. And I think when people say, you know, that they don't think that a blue-green party is a functional possibility, that's probably what they're referring to.
Firstly, just sort of going back to that, you said talking about top and top sort of being a blue-green party, before all these talks recently. It is very fashionable at the moment to be green and to care about the environment. Don't you think that if a blue-green party came into existence with a strong group of leaders that were trusted by New Zealanders, could it be a real possibility that middle-class New Zealand would want them in government alongside National?
Well, again, like I said, the people who vote on environmental grounds have actually already got a party representing them in government, and that's us, and long may that continue. You know, but recognising that we will, you know, leave office at some point, as all parties do. I guess the main thing is if you're primarily voting on the environment, the question has got to be what would a new party do that the Greens aren't already doing. Right, so we are introducing a zero carbon bill. We're reforming the emissions trading scheme. Over the weekend, you know, we stopped tenure review in the High Country. We're creating marine zones. We're addressing plastics and plastic waste in our oceans. You know, we've had the largest conservation funding in 16 years. You know, like there's a pretty long list of things that the Green Party is doing in government. It's hard to see what an additional Green Party could do that's not already been done.
I suppose what people may say or may think is that those that are strong National supporters and have been forever and will be forever, if there was a Green Party that had a close association and a close tie to National, wouldn't you think that they would potentially be more likely to vote for a blue-green party rather than the Greens themselves?
The answer is yes, but this actually raises the next question. Where are the blue-greens' votes going to come from?
Because who are the National voters that are going to have to change to blue-green?
That's right. So National are polling kind of just over 40% at the moment. They basically have every single centre-right or right-wing vote in the country locked up inside the National Party. And you have to say, well, I have a suspicion that the only place that the Blue-Green Party could get votes from is actually the National Party. And so the maths of that in a proportional representation system just don't add up. So you know, there may, I don't know, and this isn't necessarily true in the future, right? But today, that's the kind of mathematics of it. And so I just, you know, like I say, I'm just not sure. If you're casting your vote primarily on the environment, why wouldn't you vote for the party that's currently in government delivering on the environment? And if you really want to see National in government, you're probably already voting for the National Party. So I think it's just going to be very hard. I mean, I think, you know, some people will obviously vote for them, right? Some people voted for the Opportunities Party at the last election, but not enough to get them over 5%. And I think that's probably the main barrier, is that there just aren't 5% of people in the country who say, actually, there's a niche there that's not currently being served by the National Party, you know, and I'm going to switch my vote to that.
So just moving on to what you've been up to in the first couple of months of the year, I know you've been quite busy. Would you be able to give us a brief rundown on what you've been up to?
Yeah, I mean, the summer is always busy because, you know, we have this sort of huge number of kind of external engagements that kick off the year. So there's Ratana, there's Waitangi, there's the university orientations that are about to kick off. There's things like Big Gay Out and Out in the Square and all of the other kind of summer community festivals, Chinese New Year, Diwali, you know, all of that kind of stuff is going on. So that's pretty exciting. And that chews up a fair amount of time. But the main thing I've been working on is just getting the zero carbon bill ready to get introduced into the House sometime in the next couple of months.
So just talking about some of those events beginning in the year, is that going to be a big thing for the Green Party? Is everybody going to be involved in, say, university orientation things?
Well, yeah, most of us are. Some of us, those of us who are ministers, have to get leave from the House to be able to, well, we all have to get leave from the House, but ministers tend to be a bit more confined to Wellington. So I'm going to get to the ones that I can get to, but you will see Green MPs, I think, at pretty much every university orientation everywhere in the country, and Chloe Swarbrick is kind of coordinating our presence in those campuses.
What is, obviously, we talked a little bit about the zero carbon bill last week, but other than that, what are the next few things in the works for the Green Party?
Well, for me, beyond the zero carbon bill, the main thing that I'm working on is reforming the emissions trading scheme, and that probably doesn't make for great radio because it's incredibly complicated.
Yes,
but we have. Essentially the emissions trading scheme that we've got hasn't worked in terms of reducing the country's overall emissions. And so we have a massive package of reforms that we've been working on. In fact, that Ministry for the Environment's been working on since well before we came into government. And so that's finally going to make it to the House this year. And that's in a kind of really wonkish sort of a way, very, very exciting. Because once that goes through, it means that we should actually have a functional emissions trading scheme that will actually put pressure on companies to start reducing their emissions much more dramatically than they have in the past.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.